Good morning. How's everybody doing today? It is getting nice outside, right? Or did it get hot again? Everybody thought you were done with fall, or you guys were done with summer, right? And we got that fall weather for like a couple days, and then the summer crept right back in. But I think we're finally getting there. My name's Jake. I want to welcome you guys to the Crossings Church. We have a lot of things that actually happen in the fall, and one of the things, I want to walk through a couple things that we have going on right now before. We have this men's camp out coming up, okay? And I think we have 2 weeks before it's here. It's not this upcoming weekend, but it's the following weekend. And there's still plenty of space. So if you're a man, if you're a boy wanting to become a man, you know, whatever it may be, you can most definitely still sign up for this. It's going to be a great time. We just stay overnight, and then we do some fun things the next day as well. But all the information is on that card for you guys, too. Also, our Rise Recovery that we partner with, they are selling t-shirts in the back, and we have three of the options up top sitting there on the display. And a couple of our girls, Jamie and Jennifer, will probably be back there over there. They're waving their hands. They'll be back there after church. If you guys would like to support that ministry, please buy a shirt. I know it's getting to the fall season, so you probably need a couple more shirts in your guys' closets to make sure that you guys are ready for the season. So buy them shirts up for us, please. We are in the middle of an entire church theme for the year that is United as One. And we're over halfway through it now. This has been our theme for the entire year. So if you're visiting with us today, if you're a member and you've seen this graphic before, we are halfway through the year. Every year we pick a church theme that we try to tie in to what we feel like our church really needs. And what we are on this year is just the idea of to be united as one, is to be one voice, to be one sound, to be one ministry, to be one church, to be one body, to be one with Christ. Another awesome opportunity with that as well is that tonight we're going to have one, if you're thinking about one voice, we're going to be having a worship night. And it's a great opportunity. You know, if you're a member of the church, we encourage you guys to be there. If you're visiting with us today, we invite you guys to come along to that tonight. And we just spend some time and we just worship God. And it's just kind of cool to get the church together to have one voice, you know, to be able to pray to God and sing to God and to worship God all together. So it's going to be at 6 o'clock tonight back here if you guys would like to come to that. But it's just we're trying to tie in and lace little opportunities like that throughout the year to kind of remember that this is our theme, to be united as one. And so if you guys want to follow along with us today, we have some notes about being united as one. And what we're going to be talking about today in your guys' bulletins is this idea of being united by our devotion to the apostles' doctrine. Okay? And as we look at this lesson today, to be united by our devotion to the apostles' doctrine, it's one of the things that we look at, and once again, as a church, if we're going to be a healthy church, if we're going to be a godly church, if we're going to be a righteous church, a church that is acting and living right in the eyes of God, we have to be a church that's united in how we're devoted to what the apostles' doctrine is. And you say, well, Jake, that doctrine word, that's kind of a weird word. In Acts 2:42, it says, they continued steadfastly and the apostles' doctrine, right? And in different translations, they say the same thing, and it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. And so, you know, if you hear that word doctrine, you're not too familiar with the word doctrine, another word you could use is teachings, right? And the reason that we say the differences between those two words and why we need to hear it differently is because sometimes in culture, you can hear people say, well, I don't want to get hung up on doctrine, right? Like, that shouldn't be something that separates us is our doctrine. And, you know, I don't want us to make sure that doctrine really doesn't matter, right? Doctrine really doesn't matter. It's, you know, Jesus Christ that matters and things like that. And you hear that a lot in church dialogue when people talk to each other about where they go to church and what they believe. And they say, I don't really want to get hung up on doctrine. But if you transform that word into what it really means, which is Jesus' teachings, you probably don't hear that a lot in churches, right? Where they say, and I don't really want to get hung up on Jesus' teachings. You know, that shouldn't be something that separates us as Jesus' teachings. You would never say that, right? And that's exactly why we need to understand that this idea of doctrine is that in a nutshell. It's Jesus' teachings. And so if that's true, then doctrine does matter. in what we believe matters, and how we choose to be united in what we believe matters. And so we're not going to necessarily talk too much about doctrine today, but we're going to be talking a little bit about what it is, and a little bit about how we can start to see kind of some of the surface things that go into the doctrine and what it is that the apostles had. And then, you know, well, Jake, why do you say the apostles' doctrine and not Jesus' doctrine? Why do you say what the apostles said and not what Jesus said? Well, we're gonna dive into that today too, okay? But if you guys want to follow along with us, these notes are going to come out. We'll have them up on the screen in the verses too. But here's what we're going to start today is the devotion to the apostles' doctrine requires knowing what they are. So if you're going to be devoted to something, if you're going to go to church and be devoted to God, well, you got to be devoted to His Word. And if you're going to be devoted to His Word, you're going to be devoted to what the apostles wrote. And if you're going to be devoted to the apostles wrote, you need to be devoted to knowing what they are in the first place. You know, it's so funny. I grew up playing sports, right? And I'm pretty sport heavy, I would say, in my mind. And I know a lot of things about rules. And then that kind of led into other areas of my life that I play a lot of board games and card games and things like that. And so I'm a pretty big rule follower. If you've ever played anything with me, I don't like to break the rules. My wife, on the other hand, her motto is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, you know? And so when we play games, there's always sneakiness that's happening and things like that. But I was always a little rule follower, right? And so everything, whether it's sports or games or anything like that, I always know the rules. So much to a degree that I would get guys that would call me at 10 or 11 o'clock at night being like, Jake, dude, explain this rule to us. We're in the middle of the game. Here's this card. What should be happening? And I'm like, all right, well, this is the rule. And you hear that, guys? And then they try to put them on blast. But sometimes if it's not the right rule, they'll be like, all right, I'll talk to you later, bye. Because you know they're not going to say what I just said. They're going to try to make up their own rule real fast. But, you know, in sports and things like that, when I go play basketball on campus and people are calling fouls and all this stuff, like, there's just so much that I know about the rules because I've studied them out and I know so much about it because I want to make sure that what I'm doing it the right way. Well, Jesus' doctrine's no different. What the apostles taught is no different. And it can be really easy to be engaged in a game and have fun and not play by the rules because it's going to help you win. And in church, you can do the same thing. It can be easy to go to church and have good relationships and have great friends and go to good events and have a good time and have a good life, but not really understand and know why you're doing what you're doing in the first place. And that's why it's so important for us to actually know what they are. And so let's kind of break these down a little bit, okay? So number one, the apostles' doctrine is they are the teachings of Christ. The apostles' doctrine are the teachings of Christ. Okay, so now here's where we're going to talk about this, because the apostles' doctrine does not contradict Jesus' doctrine or Jesus' message. The only difference between the two when you talk about the apostles' doctrine and what Jesus did is that Jesus himself exemplified his own doctrine. Jesus lived his teachings by what he said and what he did, okay? And the apostles essentially were meaning to replicate that into real life situations after the message was gone, which was Jesus dying on the cross and going up into heaven and saying, teach everyone everything I've taught you. So if you want kind of like a simplistic version of what the difference is between Jesus and his message and the apostles' doctrine, is essentially Jesus himself is the message, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the message that we exemplify and give to everyone else. But the apostles' teachings is carrying that message, explaining that message, and applying that message to different people in a different context. So there is not a contradiction at all about what the apostles were saying and what Jesus was living, and that's why the scriptures differentiate the difference between Jesus' message and the apostles' doctrine, because what they were saying was, in a nutshell, Jesus' teachings. That's what it says here in John 16, 11 through 15. It says, on the night before Jesus' crucifixion, he told his disciples, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. So Jesus says, listen, this isn't the time, but whenever I'm gone, he's going to take everything and declare it onto you. And then that is going to be the doctrine that you give to the world through what you watched through me. And so it's important to understand that there is no contradiction here. There is no, well, these are just humans, and they write whatever they want to write, you know, and they just made this stuff up. Jesus is Jesus, but the apostles can't be trusted. That's not the way to look at this at all, because Scripture eliminates that debate 100%, because that brings us to our second point, that they are the inspired Scriptures. You know, I've heard that so many times in church. Well, these were just humans. You know, the Bible was written by a bunch of humans. You know, the apostles didn't have any sort of supernatural, you know, abilities, and they weren't Jesus. They could easily manipulate the Scriptures. Well, if you believe that the Scriptures are God, it does say in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And so these Scriptures were inspired by God. God had used his Holy Spirit. Every single one of these points kind of trickles into the next one. But that right there eliminates the question, the debate, okay, which Scriptures can be trusted and which Scriptures can't? Well, Timothy gives us the idea that all Scripture is inspired by God. Then that leads us to believe that we can't cherry-pick Scripture. We can't choose to believe what we want to believe and eliminate what we don't want to believe. But if all Scripture is God-breathed, then there is a significance that God wanted us to know all Scripture, not just the parts that sound nice. Okay, well, if that's true, what else is going on with these doctrines? The next one is that they are the faith. And make sure you write the word "the" in front of faith, because there are a lot of different types of beliefs in the world, but there is only one faith that God has given us. And that's what the apostles' doctrine was trying to educate us on, that there is only one message. There was only one Jesus, and he died in one way, and he did it for a purpose for us, and he gave us this faith to live by. And Jude wanted to make sure, you know, when Jude gets himself established to a position that he can start talking to people, and he starts seeing that this mass, you know, conversions start to happen, and the church starts growing and things start happening within the churches, Jude comes in and makes some comments about this, and he says, now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith. Make sure you circle that part, the faith, that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago. You see, at this point in time now, people were starting to come into the churches and saying, listen, since Jesus died on the cross for all sins over past, present, and future, we can do whatever we want while we're here on earth. Once saved, always saved. Once you decide to live a life for Christ, you can't ever go to hell. You can do whatever you want. You can live however you want to live. You can drink whatever you want to drink. You can party however you want to party. You can sleep whatever you want to sleep. You can live how you want to live, because God's grace is so abundant through what Jesus did on the cross. You can live how you want to live. And Jude says that people will slide into churches and preach that. And Jude says we have to watch out for that, because he entrusted God's people to defend the faith. You see, what was happening in the first century is not anything that we don't experience today. You can walk into tons of churches on a Sunday morning, and you're going to hear a ton of different types of faith. You're going to hear all kinds of belief systems. You're going to hear all kinds of different types of things that sound okay, that sound like they kind of make sense. But you yourself are going to be the only one that's going to be able to actually figure out what the faith is And it's not going to be through somebody else's voice. It's going to be through God's word. And so it's important for us to, even as we're at a church and as you guys are listening to me today, to understand that there is only one faith, and it's not coming out of my mouth. It's coming from God's word. It's coming through the scriptures. And anyone who gives you something that does not line up with God's word, that is their faith. And if you're not careful, it will become your faith. But what's dangerous is that neither one of those faiths are the faith. Does that make sense? And so that's why it's so important for us to understand that that's what the apostles were defending, was that there is only one. But so many people were starting to sneak themselves into churches and manipulate them things. And honestly, I don't believe that every single person had an ill intention to, like, let's destroy the faith. But compromise slid in. Satan slipped in with comfort. Satan slipped in with confrontation. Satan slipped in with laziness and things like that. And people started to, instead of defend the faith, they started to justify their faith. And it became very dangerous for the first century, and it's still incredibly dangerous for us today to make sure that we understand that there is only one faith. And Jude warned us of that. And then lastly, the apostles' doctrine was here to help us understand that we need to know that it's the truth. That the apostles' doctrine was the truth. Well, how do we know it was the truth and it wasn't just their truth, right? It's what they thought, it's what they saw, it's what they remembered, right? Well, John 15 talks about this in verse 26 and 27. It says, I will send you the helper, and we have some, this is an expanded version, so you can kind of see what these words kind of mean a little bit in context of scripture. But it says, I will send you the helper, which is, you know, it talks about the counselor, the advocate, the Holy Spirit is what he's talking about here. He's going to send the Holy Spirit from the Father. He is a spirit of truth who comes from the Father. When he comes, he will tell or testify or witness about who I am. And you must also tell people about me because you have been with me from the beginning. You see, the Holy Spirit comes on to our lives and comes into our lives to help guide us through what's really truth and what's really emotion. You know, it's really hard if you follow anything, whether it's sports or if you watch movies or you read books or you do anything, to retain an account of every single thing that you read or you listened to or you played back in your mind. Like if you watched a basketball game last night, could you recite every single possession that happened? You know, could you tell me every single person who touched the ball, when they touched it, what time the shot clock was hitting? You know, like, that's a lot to remember, and there's a lot of emotion, and there's a lot of things being stirred up in that moment. There's a lot of excitement and ups and downs that maybe some things can be forgotten. If you read a book and you start to see these certain plot twists and you see certain highs and lows in books as you read through it and you start recognizing there's certain things that are, like, you're not going to still be able to go back and, after you close that book, give me word for word every single thing that happened in that book. Well, think about what was going on with the apostles in the first century with Jesus on the scene. It must have been a wild situation, right? The things that he was doing, healing people, calling the disciples out, walking on water, you know, raising people from the dead. There were so many things that Jesus was involved in that his apostles were watching for years. And then they were entrusted to recount and document and record everything that we needed to know today. That's kind of a hard task, right? Think about that. If you were entrusted to document what Jesus did, if you were living with him for, you know, 3 or 4 years, if you were living with this guy, and you were entitled or you were entrusted to write out everything to save the rest of the world, do you think you could write it down the exact way that you needed to? To trust, remember, you're in charge of making sure what you record through word is going to save the rest of the world, right? It sounds like a superhero movie, right? That, like, it's up to you. Just tell us what you remember, right? That's what the apostles were entrusted with. And if I was, I don't remember what, I don't remember half the stuff now. Now you're making me forget. Like, do I need to remember how many steps he took to and from the bathroom one day? Like, do I need to remember A, B, and C? Like, what do I need to remember to make sure that everyone else has an opportunity to be saved? They couldn't remember everything. That's why the Helper came. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Because the Holy Spirit didn't come to give them some new truth. It didn't have some different truth. It instead, it helped the disciples remember. The Holy Spirit helped the disciples understand. And it helped the disciples proclaim what Jesus had already revealed. It wasn't some new truth that the disciples were preaching a new doctrine into the world. It was just to be able to empower them to remember and proclaim everything that they had already witnessed to the next generation, and a powerful way to let people be compelled to do something as well. It's trustworthy because what they wrote down was empowered by the Spirit and not just by them alone. That's a truth you can stand behind. It wasn't just merely men that wrote these words. It was men inspired by God through the Holy Spirit to document something that had already been done through Jesus' message. And so I don't know where you're at today with doctrine. I don't know where you're at with Jesus' teachings and believing if what actually happened was factual or not. But what I can say is as I read through Scripture, I can see time and time and time again in the first century how frequently God was laced into every single person that he used to write the words down that we read today that we call the Bible. And there is no way, and if you look more into depth and you look more into history and look how many different references there are to scriptures and how many times they line up and how many different scrolls and how many different things are scattered all over the world and yet they all line up and say the same things, that can only be done through divine authorship. It's incredible that it's not just words. And so if that's true, and that's where we're going to start today, and that's where we're going to plant today, is that we have to know what they actually are and what's actually being said in Scripture. Okay, what truth does Jesus want me to learn today then? What were some of the bare bone, most simplistic things that Scripture says that I need to know about truth then? What are some things that I need to be dedicated to myself when it comes to devotion that Jesus wants me to know? And that's what we're going to end on today is, what are some things that I can learn? Maybe you already know this, but maybe I don't. And maybe there's some things that I practically need to start applying in my life to figure out when it comes to devotion to God's word and the apostles' teachings that I can start applying to my life. And so let's walk through these, because some of these you may know, but some of these maybe, it's just, honestly, some of the most simplistic things that we know about Jesus are the things that drew us in the first place, right? That Jesus died on a cross for your sins. Everybody knows that, but do you really remember that? Do you live by that? So let's look at some of these. When it comes to devotion to truth, Jesus wants me to, number one, know that there are two roads that lead to eternity. He wants me to know that there are two roads that lead to eternity. Yeah, Jake, we know there's heaven and hell. Boom, let's move on, right? It's that simple. But there's such a devotion to knowing this that if you really think about it, it might really drastically change your life to know that you're on one of two paths. Right? It says in Matthew 7, 13, 14, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So the context here, too, is that not only are there two roads, they're not the same size. Not only are there two different places to go, but one has got way easier access, and it's a lot easier to stay on that road. Not only are there two roads that I'm going to land myself on, but one of them seems like more people than not are on, and the other one's a little bit harder to stay on. And the context here, guys, is that one's wide, heavily traveled, and leads to destruction. One is narrow, lightly traveled, and leads to life. But the reality is that we kind of find ourselves in a lot of the times is that I can't arrive at the right destination if I'm on the wrong road. You see, so many people want to go to heaven. So many people want to have eternity with God. But yet they're on the wrong road because of how they live. And sometimes, you know, funerals are always a great reminder of that, right? When somebody passes away, it kind of gets people's minds on that thought of death and what eternity looks like and what am I doing now, because that helps remind me of what's going to happen to me one day. And it's one of the most simplest truths in Scripture that there is a heaven and there is a hell. You know, even little kids know that. But when you think about it and you recognize, where am I going to go because of how I'm living right now? The most simplest truth can very, very quickly become the most anxious truth, the most fearful truth. But honestly, I do believe that that's one of the things that God puts into us to help us recognize that maybe we should take a deeper look at how we're living our lives. And say, I know where I want to go, but am I walking the right path to get me there? Or is it easy for me to come to church and to pray, but then whenever I'm living my own personal life, like, I know there are some changes that should be made. I know that there are some priorities that I should probably put in place that I haven't been. I know that there are some things that I should be doing, but I'm really not doing them the way that I know God wants me to. And so some of these truths are so easy to listen to and so easy to understand, but they're so hard to apply to our lives. And that's why being able to meet together on Sundays is just a great reminder and a great challenge for us. I mean, if you go to a church to get hyped up and to leave, you're probably going for the wrong reasons, you know? But churches, where there is encouragement and love and support, there also should be great challenge and accountability for application in your life. And hopefully you found people in your life that hold you accountable to say, hey, you are walking down the wrong road right now, man. And I don't want to see this end up in a situation that you don't want to see it end up in. Let's get back on the right page. Let's get back on the right track. And so when it comes to devotion, this is a simple truth, but we have to understand how to apply it to our lives. Number two is that we need to understand that when it comes to devotion, we need to test every teacher by Christ's revealed teachings. We need to test every teacher by Christ's revealed teachings. Matthew 7, 15 through 20 says, it says, watch out for false prophets. Jude already talked about this, right? With people coming into the church saying that you have grace for forever, right? They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. Okay, so now we're supposed to watch out for these false people in the churches, right? And they'll be among you, right? You guys are played Among Us. I know you younger folks probably played Among Us, right? And you know, somebody around you is kind of like shady, but you don't really know who it is. But like, you don't want to go. And it's for you people in the back. It's just a video game that is a couple years old, but it's a game where everybody looks the same, but one of them is actually like a secret killer, like a mole, and they get you in a room and then they kill you and they walk back out real quick and like nobody else in the game knows that it was them. And then they're like, hey, I think it was Bob that killed that guy in the back, right? And everybody tries to like vote him out, right? Well, sometimes that happens in the church a lot, right? Where somebody, you know, I don't want to like make anybody like, you know, super paranoid right now, but like there's moles around you. Like that's what's happening. Like, you know, God, there's false prophets around you. There's wolves in this room right now. Like, and as humorous as that can be, it's incredibly dangerous to know that that's the world that we live in. And it sucks, you know, it's not fun. But that's the reality in every church. There are wolves in every church. I will never claim to be a church that has no wolves. because that would be claiming that we are a perfect church, and we are not. We are a very imperfect church, and we have lots of flaws. But what we try to do at the Crossings is we try to cultivate a culture of people who are imperfect to strive to become better. But in the midst of that, there are still going to be people who are imperfect that don't want to strive to be better. They just want to strive to be here for fun or for relationships or for the things that the world has cast them out in. And they're not really here to honor God. They're here to please themselves. Those are wolves. And if that's you, you might want to check your heart, because that's the truth of what it takes to be a true disciple, is to look beyond yourself and to look at these things of what things are in God's word and how we apply them to our lives. And they come to you in sheep's clothing, but sometimes even people that aren't just your peers, but your teachers, the preachers, the small group leaders, they also have a voice that can get caught up in their own agendas and their own truths and things like that. So what do we do here? Well, we test these teachers by Christ's teachings. And there's a couple different ways here. One is, you know, there are true prophets who present Jesus' teachings accurately, right? There are going to be those teachers in your life. There's going to be people in your life that present Jesus' teachings accurately. And they're going to say God's word for what it is, but they're also going to show the fruit through their lives of what it should look like. They're going to say, this is what God's word says, and so this is how I live. And you're going to get to see two truths here. You're going to get to see God's word accurately displayed, and you're going to get to see God's word actively lived upon. Watch your life and doctrine closely, right? That's what Timothy says earlier in a different passage, or later in a different passage. And so make sure you know what you're teaching and you're living by it, because it's going to save the people around you. Those are the teachers that you guys should be embracing. Those are the people in your life that you should be leaning into and saying, listen, I'm trying to absorb as much information as I can from you. I'm trying to apply as much as I can from you, because I see what you're saying and it lines exactly up with this. And I see how you're living and it lines exactly up with this. So I want to model what you're doing. You should be looking and finding those people. But there are also false prophets who claim to present Jesus' teachings, but don't. And this can happen in two different ways. Because you can have somebody that says God's word, just, and it's all true, right? And they know God's word, but then their lifestyle does not model that. They can know it just like the first guy. And they can say it just like the first guy, and they can have all this knowledge and all God's truth, and they can use scripture, and you can hear it for what it is, but through your maturity, you will start learning that their life doesn't match up with that truth. Or it can become confusing that you can't figure out if it's really truth or not. Or it can be flipped, and somebody can be living such an incredible-looking life and say, man, that's a good life. Like, you know, good family, good kids, good job, good... You know, and you start seeing all these worldly things that makes them charismatic and kind of like a light in the world, and but it's in the wrong context. And saying, man, why do you do all this stuff? And then their doctrine can be a little wishy-washy, right? And saying, well, you know, like some things have been watered down in scripture through what I say and what I believe and what I do. And so you have to be careful on both sides of this, because you don't really know what you're going to get. You might get somebody who's really smart and knows God's word but doesn't live it, but you also might get somebody who's really charismatic and can be a good people person but doesn't really know God's word in the first place. Both of them are dangerous, because neither one of them reflect Christ. And those are the ones that you need to look out for. Because lastly here is that I can't forget that Satan's strategy to destroy me involves deception. Satan's strategy is to deceive you. He wants to find the wolves, and he dresses them up like sheep. And he has people follow them right out of God's word, right out of the church, right out of the holy place. Because it's much easier to attack from within than attack from the outside. It's so much easier. And that deception is a very dangerous strategy that Satan knows works very well. It's incredible to watch how that happens and to watch how people follow people, right? People will follow people into the church, and then people will follow people out of the church. It's just a natural process of life. And that's why we at the Crossings here want to make sure that we help you guys understand, what are you following? Because if you're following God, it won't matter what people do at the end of the day. If you follow the doctrine of the apostles and you follow the teachings of Jesus, you will lean into the right people. And you'll question by their fruits. You don't have to sit here and question. You know, I have my kids question everything. And sometimes I like it. And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I like it when my kids ask me questions because I can tell they're questioning to understand. And there's a posture in your heart of how you question. When it talks about, when it says here that you should question and test every teacher, sometimes I'm like, man, my kid is like learning because they're asking why, Dad, why do we do it this way? Or why do you do this? Why do you do that? And it's cool because I can tell in their heart there's a posture of wanting to grow and absorb knowledge that I'm trying to give them. But then there's also that, Dad, why do we got to go to school every day? Dad, why do we got to do this? And I'm like, that's not a posture of learning and growing here. They just don't want to do it. So they're trying to question because of doubt and question because of their heart is not really in it, right? And so that's a challenge to make sure for you guys too. If you guys want to question leaders, if you guys want to question people around you, make sure your heart's in the right place. Make sure that you're questioning because you want to learn and grow and absorb and make sure that what you're seeing is aligning with God's word and it's something that you're wanting to be involved and a part of, and not so much because you got a bad attitude because you don't want to do it, so you're just going to question it because you don't like it. You see, it's not in your notes, but in Acts 17:11, Paul talks about these Bereans, right? And in Acts 17:11, it talks about the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they received and examined Paul's word every day, and they examined the scriptures to make sure what Paul was saying was true. Now, Paul was he's a pretty popular dude at this point, right? And he's teaching in this town of Berea, right? And he's got some authority. He's got himself in a position to influence people. And these Bereans are still like, man, this sounds good, but you ain't Jesus. they're like going back and looking at God's scriptures. They're looking at what the apostles wrote down to make sure that what he's saying lines up. And Paul could have took that as a sign of insecurity. Paul could have took that as a sign of defiance. Paul could have took that as a sign of disrespect. But he doesn't say any of that about the Bereans. Paul says, that's some noble people. That's some legit people. And for you guys, when you test these teachers in your lives, are you doing that? How do you know I'm not just making everything up right now? For real. Actually, I said, you guys remember when I went to your guys' cross chat this last 2 weeks ago? I was at the high school cross chat. I said that same thing to the high schoolers. I was like, how y'all know I'm not just making this stuff up right now in front of you guys? And y'all got silent because you didn't have an answer for me at first. Because the high school was like, I don't know. How you? Maybe he is making this stuff up. Churches do that. It sucks, but that's what they do. Some churches will just make stuff up to try to get you to do what they want you to do. It happens all the time. That's mass marketing in the world. Companies will just send stuff out because they want you to do something. Churches are no different. And the Bereans recognized this, and they said, hey, this is good, but I'm not trying to follow no false teacher. I'm going to get into God's word myself and make sure what you're saying is true. And if it is, man, I'm going to lean in 100%. But if it's not, I'm going to question it. I'm going to challenge it. And if I can't get along with it, I'm going to go somewhere else. And so we have to make sure that we're testing Christ's teachings wherever you go. That's why we print out notes. A lot of churches don't do notes anymore. A lot of churches, they just, they throw up a couple famous quotes from some famous authors and they have a motivational speech real fast. But y'all, we're giving you little mini Bibles today. And if you ever need a real Bible, we'll supply one for free, 100%. That's something that, I didn't even say that to Wes, but we will. We will buy you a Bible if you need a Bible. That's one thing that we will always support, I will find the money for it. But you need God's word in your life. period. Because you're never going to be able to cross-reference what you're hearing in the world if you don't have something to put it with. So make sure you have a Bible alongside of you no matter what you're doing in life, okay? Number three, I have to realize that claiming to be a Christian doesn't make me one. I hear some oohs in the crowd today. Ooh. Right? I have to realize that claiming to be a Christian doesn't make me one. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? So he says your name a lot, right? People say Jesus' name a lot. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Jesus, didn't we spend all this time in your church? Didn't we spend all this time doing these good things and doing miracles and helping people? Didn't we spend all this time in your name doing this for you? And at the end of the day, Jesus is like, I don't know you. You see, because there are people who are going to be sensational with their faith, but falsely claim Jesus is Lord. That word sensational means they're going to be very outward with their faith. They're going to say, I pray every day. I go to church every Sunday, right? All right, first, I said this in the teacher's class. I said, I pray every Sunday, you're going to bring demons out of me, right? Anybody know what movie that's from? Nobody? Oh, my gosh. It's Hot Rod. Whenever he's beating the guy with the trash can in the front, he goes, I go to church every gosh darn Sunday, you're going to bring demons out of me, right? Just saying he goes to church doesn't mean anything, but I can't believe none of y'all seen Hot Rod. That's crazy. We're gonna do a real truth or something on Hot Rod, I guess, just to get you. I can make a message out of anything. We can watch Hot Rod all day. But just because you do these things in a flashy way, and because you're out and about in the world and you say, I do this, I go to church, I pray, I'm a Christian, I got a cross, check this tattoo out, look at me, look at what I do, that doesn't mean a thing to God. It doesn't. In fact, it's probably more dangerous to act like that than not, because there's an insecurity that can seep in and almost like a look at me, a holier than thou. There's just an arrogance that comes along with that. But just because we're claiming this doesn't make me one. There's a plain refuting that happens here, right? He says, I'll tell you plainly, I never knew you. Well, what's the truth here then? The truth is I can't claim to be right with God when I embrace the wrong teachings. I can't claim that I know God if I don't really know God, right? I can't claim that I'm a Christian if I've never read his word. And that's what's dangerous in the culture that we live in today, guys. That's what's so dangerous, is so many people say they believe in God and they've never opened a dang Bible in their lives. It blows my mind. How can you say that? How can you believe that you believe in something higher than yourself, a supernatural being that created the universe and sent his son to die on the cross and gave these apostles divine authority to write out his word in flesh for us to live through, and we say, I believe all that, but I have no idea what it says. It makes no sense. It's like some dude has never played a day of baseball in his life saying, I love baseball, I know how to play baseball, and he gets out on the field, and he's like, what am I supposed to do? Because that's the thing, is when the rubber meets the road and life starts to hit hard, do you have God's word to stand by? When things get hard in your life, do you know how God wants you to respond? When tragedy hits your life, when abuse hits your life, when neglect hits your life, when addictions hit your life, when things spiral downwards and you're like, why is this happening to me? Do you know what God wants you to do in those situations? Or have you put yourself in a place in life that says, I know God, but I have no idea what I'm supposed to do right now? I don't know who I'm supposed to trust. I don't know what I'm supposed to lean on. I don't know how I'm supposed to respond. I don't know how I'm supposed to act. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. Guys, I encourage you to get into God's Word because He reveals how to do everything in every circumstance. It's not always going to be the easiest. It's not always going to be the funnest. But it is going to give you an answer. That's one thing that God's Word will never do, not have an answer for what's going on in your life. And so we want to encourage you guys here today at the Crossings to look at God's Word in a way that you know the right teachings so that you don't just claim that you know who God is, but you can actually defend the character of God because of who He is through what you know in His Word. And then lastly today, guys, is that salvation requires that I have an obedient faith in Jesus. Salvation requires that I have an obedient faith in Jesus. Not just a faith, but an obedient one. Not just my faith, not just what I believe, but a belief system that makes you act. A belief system that makes you compelled to do things that you wouldn't naturally do because you respond and you report to somebody higher than yourself. In Matthew 7, it keeps on going. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it didn't fall because it had foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not," circle the word "not" there, because it's the only difference between the two, "does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." You see, the only difference between these two parables that Jesus says is the word "not." That's it. The only difference between going to heaven and hell is the word "not." That's the only difference. You can listen to God's Word all day, but if you do not put anything into practice, you're on the wrong road. And that's a hard truth today, but that's exactly what he was trying to get people to understand, is that the greatest error is to hear accurate teaching and disregard it. The greatest human error in the Christian faith is to hear actual, factual truth and to not do anything with it. That was the only difference between these two. Building this house on the rock, building this house on the sand, it was just the foundation of what you choose to live by. And so, guys, that's my encouragement today, is as you look through your life and you look at what you stand by, what's your doctrine and what you follow and what you're obedient to, where has it gotten you in this point in your life? Where has it led? If you're not a Christian, if you don't really know what God stands for yet, if you don't really know a lot about Jesus and you're trying to explore, I'd even encourage you to ask that question to yourself. Where has life gotten you thus far? And not everybody's life is the same. Not everybody's life has got to be this crazy car wreck of a story where there was abuse and neglect and everything like that. Sometimes it can just be the feeling of you feel like at this point up into your life, you have no purpose. I've lived a good life. I've had a good mom and dad. You know, we've been comfortable with life. Nothing really crazy has happened, but do you feel like your life has meaning? Do you feel like your life has purpose? Maybe you are more on like the car wreck side, where, you know, like me, like I grew up without a dad. My dad was a drug addict. My mom had to work multiple jobs. Like, we grew up very poor. And I was just like, why is all this stuff happening to me as a kid? Insecurities, all these different things. And then I got into things I probably shouldn't have had in high school. And my life was down spiraling. And I was like, why is this my life? And so for me, it was recognizing that maybe there was something else that was more purposeful in this life, something that was going to give me a purpose, to give me a hope, to give me a feeling that life could be different. Maybe you are a Christian in this room, and you've surrendered your life to Christ, and you remember those windows where you had that feeling of hope and love and joy and excitement, and you've said, I don't feel that way anymore. I don't feel what I used to feel. Maybe you have drifted to the wrong road. Maybe the word not has shown up a little bit more in your life than you would like it to. And this can just be an opportunity to look back and reevaluate. Or, you know, maybe you are somebody in this room that really, this is just a great reminder and a great refresher, but you still now have an obligation to make sure that the people around you are finding that road just like you. See, this message is for everyone. That's why it was written in Scripture. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. What matters is that God wants us all to find Him, to know Him, and the only way that's going to happen is through what the apostles wrote for Him. And so, if you're visiting with us, I hope you caught on by now that we read the Bible and we do what it says. You know, like, I hope you've caught that by today, is that we try to read God's Word and we try to apply it. And we do it the best that we can here at the Crossings Church. But I encourage you guys to lean into that idea that what the apostles said was true. And if you guys are looking for an opportunity to know more about the apostles' teachings, to know more about what Jesus lived and what they preached because of that, and how we operate as a church, I encourage you to pull out this communication card today. Because this communication card is an opportunity for you to respond to that thought process of, what is it that God is wanting me to learn today? What is it that God is wanting me to apply to my life today? Is it that I need to really get into His Word because I don't really know half the things that God said? I don't really know half the things Jesus did. I don't really know the whole story of the message. Maybe check that you like a Bible study. Maybe you're looking at these roads and you're like, yeah, I'm probably on the wrong road right now. You know, like, I don't know how to get on the right road. Maybe you need to be influenced by some different people in your life. You know, one of the things I love about our church is the diversity. You can clearly see that by looking around right now, right? There's diversity in races, there's diversity in social and economic classes. But what I love the most is that there's diversity in age demographic. You see, because most churches I go to and I visit from time to time with conferences and things like that, you don't see the age differences like you see here. And I love that. But what if you lean into this church, what you're going to find out more times than not is that we don't segregate by age. You know, we don't separate by age. We have our student ministries. We have a campus ministry, right? Most churches don't have a campus ministry. Where's our college kids at in this room, right? We got campus ministry. We got a high school ministry. Where are your high schoolers at, right? So we got high schoolers, and we have adults, we have young adults, we have all these different places. We have kids that you can hear them banging now on the walls right now. I just started hearing that, right? They were like, hey, we're in here too, guys. Like, don't forget about us, right? So we have everything everywhere in this church. And the reason that I'm in this church with my wife is because I want to be in a place that my whole family can thrive. Not in a place that I can thrive, not in a place that my wife can thrive, not in a place that my kids can thrive, but a place that my whole family can thrive. And you don't find a lot of places that try to put God's Word in practice that way. And so if you're visiting with us today, I just encourage you to fill out this card and just to look for opportunities, maybe to lean in to meet a new friend today, maybe to find something for yourself, find something for somebody that came with, find somebody, maybe you have family at home that you're like, they could use this kind of community. I don't know what you need, but I know that everybody needs something through God's Word, and we're trying our best here at the church to provide that the best we can through what we read in God's Word. So I'm gonna say a prayer, give you guys some time to fill out that communication card. We're wrapping up a little earlier today, but we do have that worship night tonight at 6 o'clock, and I encourage you guys to come back for that And it's powerful, guys. If you've never been to one, it's incredible. If you got friends that maybe they're not about church, you know, and they like music, like this is a great entry point to get into church in a, you know, a very non-threatening way, just to feel like they can, you know, experience God's power through worship and just to be able to meet some people as well. So I encourage you guys to come back to that tonight. I'll say a prayer, give you guys some time to fill out that card, and then what? Yep. Yep. Yep, it's on the back of your bulletins. Yeah, it's on the back of your flyers. All right, let's pray, guys, and then we'll wrap up today. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to have your word, to have a physical copy of what you want us to know. God, sometimes I completely neglect that as I walk through my week. It can be real easy to walk through a week and forget to open up that thing. But God, whenever I'm in it, it is so impactful. It's so powerful to be able to give me a model of what I should be doing and how I should be living. And God, I know sometimes there's some confusing things in there. There's some things I don't understand. There's some things, honestly, I don't even want to do half the time. But God, I know whenever I put those things into practice and I actually apply them the way that you want me to, my life is so much better. It's so more blessed, and it becomes such more of an opportunity for my family, for the people around me, my friendships, and the people in the world that don't know you yet, Lord. So I pray we can always be a church that relies on your word to direct our paths. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.